This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And a very good morning to you wherever you are in the world. Of course, it's end of school or end of school year coming up. Those of you who've got teenagers. In my family, we've got two teenagers in matric, and actually went to a school night a couple of nights ago, and it's quite sad. You know, all the kids are dying to leave school, and you sort of say to them, one day you're going to look back and say, these were the happiest years of my life. Anyway, they'll find out, but it's lovely to see these young people on the verge of starting careers and life. And remember, WhatsApp, you can call me on WhatsApp. Senna Pabetsi, my producer's here to take your calls. Craig Guthrie, our technical whiz, of course, doing all the sound engineering. The WhatsApp number, 061-895-1019. Okay, let me repeat that. 061-895-1019. Okay, well, this morning to kick off with, we're going to start about health. I mean, I read every morning with my morning coffee. I read BBC, Daily Telegraph, New York Times, News 24 to get the local stuff, and Daily Telegraph. When I say I read them, I click on what I want to, but I see more and more pages are devoted to health, how to age gracefully, what to eat for our gut, you know, subject after subject, and the pages are getting longer and longer as people get more interested, I suppose, or perhaps more concerned will be a better way about their health. Well, this morning we've got somebody very special to talk to us, Dr. David Adler, very, very well known name in South Africa's medical fraternity. And he's a specialist physician at MediClinic in Sandton. And I think, I call you doctor, even though I'd like to call you David, because if people are listening in, then I'm talking to a doctor and not some random oak I've just plucked off the street. Very, very experienced. He's co-founder and director of Infinity Medical Concierge, but we'll come to that in just a moment. But first of all, I've been reading an op-ed piece by him, and doctor, you're advocating a different and, you believe, better approach to treating patients called Medicine 3.0. But before we get to Medicine 3.0, talk to me about Medicine 1.0 and Medicine 2.0, so we know where we're coming from. And good morning.
Good morning, Kate, and welcome to all, and good morning to all your listeners. And my name is David, so please call me David.
Okay.
Right, Kate, so essentially medicine 1.0 was at the old traditional physician-centered care, where decisions were largely based on the clinician's knowledge and experience. That took us through to about the beginning of the last century. Medicine 2.0 then was really the introduction of what they call evidence-based medicine, where clinical decisions are now informed by scientific and research data. So there's more science behind the decisions rather than what you suspected to manage the patient. And then this concept of medicine 3.0 it's an evolving process where it's more patient-centered. We use a whole bunch of tech, a lot of personalized medicine or so like that, where we're taking the person as a whole rather than as a community or so like that. So everyone's a bit different in their presentation, how they present with illnesses or so like that. So it's a lot more personalized, the whole process, rather than medicine 1.0 and 2.0.
Okay, just before you go on, so I have to take a quick break. But it's a holistic approach, but it's not just holistic, it's more medical holistic. Think about that.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And welcome back. And I'm talking to Dr. David Adler. And he's been talking about how we used to treat medicine, or how professionals like himself used to treat. So medicine one was when basically everything was out of control. You couldn't control the Black Death or the Spanish flu or whatever. Then medicine two, as you said, has brought science into it and data-based research. Medicine 3, you were telling us, or 3.0, is, well, tell us again, wrap it up in a nice layperson way.
So it's a lot of personalized and it's patient-centered care. And with that, we use quite a bit of technology, like the electronic wearables, for instance, so we can measure blood sugar. Everyone wears a watch or a cell phone that gathers data all the time. There's a center of coordination where one person really looks after, you touched on that word holistic, we'll come back to in a minute, where one person looks after everything and reports back to them. So a lot of tech involved in the management of patients as well. And because everyone's a bit different, the personalized care makes a difference. So the treatment of one person's diabetes will be different to the next person's. So again, the summary of it, it's more personalized, a lot of tech to assist us that's available. And also there needs to be science behind us.
Yeah.
So if we touch on that word holistic, we love the word holistic. So in the lay press, holistic terms is it's all involved. And what we need to do from a medical point of view, there needs to be real science behind it. And that's where medicine 2 and 3.0 go into, is that we can't decide that this particular intervention is going to work. We need proper, reproducible scientific literature to give us the answers for that.
Now, well, you know, holistic always seems to me a little bit like woo-woo stuff, but it's mind, body. You know, how does that come into your work? Are you treating the mind as well as the body with this?
So when we talk about holistic, is that we've got a variety of different subspecialities that help us. So for instance,
We go on, David, you're saying we. Who are we?
The medical profession.
Okay. Thank you.
So part of medicine 3.0 is preventative medicine. So if we can get to the problem before it becomes an issue, obviously it's best for everyone. And we do know that as people get older, there's certain risks or diseases that come forward. And our job as medical practitioners is to go looking for these problems before they start. So when we talk about holistic medicine, say, for instance, a lady like yourself, you'll need a mammogram. So you'll need that. There's a medical examination that we need to do. So that's two doctors. So that's going to be a radiologist looking at your mammogram. There's a physician looking at your medical side of things. If you haven't had a look at your gut health, like you're talking about in one of the adverts earlier, you need to have a colonoscopy. So all these are holistic. They're working with different specialities to come together with a center of care, a coordinated care, to make sure that nothing slips through the cracks and that we pick up all these problems.
Now, David, just considering there's, according to the op-ed piece you wrote, there are only 8 doctors per 10,000 people in South Africa. How on earth can this be achieved, what you're talking about? Is it achievable?
Yeah, so unfortunately, and it's a global problem, Kate, it's not just South Africa.
No.
There's this huge dichotomy between what's needed and what's available. There's also cost involved. And with medicine, there's always the issue about what's reasonable, what's cost effective, and what's, you know, okay. So I work in a private institution, so it's a fee for service. So if the person can afford it, only with pleasure. Unfortunately, the vast majority of people living in the country don't get access to adequate health. But again, it's a global. In America, the first world, the rest of the world, it's a similar issue. I mean, if you heard about what happens in the UK with the NHS, it's a similar story. You don't get the care that you do need.
Mm-hmm. And also you write, and you know, I have a lot of medical friends, and they all tell me, whether they're GPs or specialists or whatever, time. There's never enough time to be with a patient. You become almost just a prescription writer, a pill pusher. You're saying, with this kind of care, you're advocating, obviously, time is going to play a very important part.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And to do it properly, Kate, is that time is a huge issue. You need time to go through it properly.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember growing up going into a fart mode for a moment. You know, our GP used to come to the house. He used to say, how are you doing in your Latin? What are your maths results? Before he ever attempted to diagnose. But because he knew the family so well, I mean, that there are GPs who still exist like that, certainly. But that time factor, you as a specialist physician, how long can you spend with a patient? How long is a piece of string?
It's how long the piece of string. That if someone's in trouble, you can spend hours with them. If someone crashes in an intensive care unit, you stay with them until they stabilize. You can't say, well, there's a 10-minute time period, let's move on.
But
generally speaking, is that you can work your times out reasonable, and you know how long to book different patients for, when you're doing the ward rounds, how long it takes. So generally speaking, I run on time. Occasionally there's an odd problem, but generally speaking, you can manage it. Yeah. But I'm talking about my practice at Sandton Clinic, which is different to the guys in the rural areas or elsewhere or so, that don't have medical facilities or don't have medical funding.
Yeah. Now, you talked about preventative medicine. You know, we see that with immunization and vaccination shots and whatever. What sort of things would you be looking for to pick up? I'll come back to you because we're going to take a commercial break. But when you've got a patient or a client coming to you, and I want to talk to you about this scheme you've got, what are the markers you would be looking for in a certain person or any person?
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And we're talking to Dr. David Adler, and we're talking about a scheme for kind of personalized care. But before the break, I asked him, and it's a huge generalization, David, but what sort of, let's say I'm a 60-year-old, maybe about to retire, what sort of markers would you, if they came to you, with this personalized care, what sort of markers would you be looking for? You talked about a colonoscopy. You talked about, you know, looking for certain signs. What would be the major signs you'd be looking for?
Yeah. So to start with, before we start with the investigation, you talk to the person. So the two main areas are their personal history from beforehand, what their previous medical and surgical histories are, and you try get hold of all the previous results that have been done beforehand, so you don't need to replicate anything. And another major component is the family history, because of the genetics play a huge role. So based on that, that triggers certain events that we need to investigate further. Then you'd examine the person. If you find a problem, then you go through those. So we divide our plan into three plans. The first is the short-term plan. So that's any problem that we pick up, we need to chase after and sort out.
Okay.
Then the second part is that it's the medium-term plan. So as a 60-year-old lady, what hasn't been done so far? Have you had your bone scan? Have you had your mammogram? Have you had your colonoscopy? There's a series of checks and balances that people need depending on your age and your family history. And then we mentioned earlier that a lot of the medicine 3.0 is tech. So we've designed some of our own proprietary technology where this 60-odd lady, I'd say, right, every 5 years you need to have a colonoscopy. So the third plan is the long-term plan, where into the program, or the platform, we would say Kate needs a colonoscopy in 5 years' time. So in 5 years' time, it reminds us, so nothing slips through the cracks. Unfortunately, quite frequently, you tell the person you need a scope in 5 years' time. It's not a pleasant experience. They forget to go for it. And these are preventable cancers if caught early.
Yeah.
So it depends on your personal history, your family history, what we find in the examination. And then over there, there's certain checks and balances that need to be done, both for a screening. You just mentioned cancer so far, but there's a whole bunch of other ones we need as well. So for instance, from a cardiometabolic point of view, we need to know about blood pressure. Blood pressure, they call the silent killer. Unless you check your blood pressure, you don't know it's elevated, and it can lead to things like heart attacks and strokes.
Yeah.
You touched on the holistic approach. Absolutely, the head is part of it. And one of the reversible issues are dementing issues. If you get there early, you can prevent a lot of these things. From a musculoskeletal point of view, is that the stronger and the more exercise you do, the better you're going to be as you get older. So in essence, is that as part of the program, yes, you're making you live longer and live better or so. But to cut down to it is that nowadays it's easy to live to 90. But the 90-year-old you want to be is that person that's still traveling, holding radio shows, doing things like you're doing, rather than that decrepit elderly person that's in a wheelchair, demented, and not really living at all like we understand it.
Now,
I
want to ask you something, because I've been dying to ask this of a medical specialist. Is it fake news that the 60s are one of the really, if I've been told, I don't know if it's fake news or not, if you survive the 60s, you're probably going to live to quite a ripe old age. Is that just rubbish?
That's in the medical jargon. We call it Assassin's Alley. And it starts a bit early. It's somewhere around the age from about 50 to 80 that you can get taken out. If you survive after 80, then you're bulletproof, you're fine, as evidenced by yourself.
Now, David, tell us, you and Dr. Martin Leibos, another very well-known in medicine in South Africa, you've developed something called Infinity Medical Concierge, which is a bit of a mouthful, I must tell you. Just explain to me how that works. Is that actually going to do what you've been talking about previously?
Yes, yeah. Okay. So the concierge is like if you go to a hotel, you go down to the concierge and you need to book tickets for the opera or for a game, or if you need a restaurant reservation or so like that. It's a similar concept like that, but it's all medicine-based. So there's one number to call. If you've got any issue with you've got a question, in other words, you go into the bush, you need to know about what malaria prophylaxis you need. There's one phone call. If you need to make appointments or reservation or to see the doctor, or if it's an emergency, it's one number to call. So you're not taking any chances. There's one person. Attached to the call center is our own emergency services. So if there's a problem, we dispatch the emergency services straight away. And because we know the clients beforehand, we know about their medical problems. The paramedics also have got contact with us. We could do a telemedicine conference with the patient at the same time. So for instance, if there's a person who he's got chest pain, we can patch the paramedic to these cardiologists, and they can actually do a teleconference then and there. And if it's a problem, we can just get the ball rolling so much quicker than the normal process of going to the casualty and via like that. What we've been going, we've been going for about almost 3 years now, Kate. So I think we can count on one hand how many times we've had to dispatch the emergency services, because the whole crux is prevention. So by doing the preventative side of things is that we hardly ever see the emergencies. It's the preventative side. And the preventative side is what we're talking about now. It's a personalized care, a lot of tech available. For instance, we've got an app where you can access all your medical records wherever you are, like a banking app. So if you're traveling around the world and you need to speak to a doctor for something, you can call us. But likewise, you're going to have access to all your results. There's no replication because your results are on hand whenever you might need it or so like that.
Yeah. Give me an idea. Tell me a story, David, about hypothetical or real, about how this would work.
Okay, so with two. The one is from an emergency type of thing, is that one of our clients phoned me one afternoon at about 4 o'clock to say he's got abdominal pain. We said, come through. He said, no, he's been for lunch. He's had too much to eat or drink. We said, come across. We met him in casualty. We took him straight for an ultrasound. He had acute appendicitis. He was in theater about 2 hours later and went home the next morning. Yeah. It just so happened that the appendix was malignant as well. And if you left that, it could have caused a lot more problems.
Yeah.
So that's from the one side of the thing. There's another client that completely asymptomatic, went for his routine colonoscopy. We found an early colon cancer, removed it, and he's fine today. So these are, they're not exceptional things. They're just normal, run-of-the-mill stuff. We find problems all the time. If you go looking, you're going to find it.
Mm. Now, this all sounds very expensive, David. Is it just for very rich people?
So what we're doing, Kate, is that, so in answer to your question, it's not for very rich people, but there is a cost involved. What we need to do is that we need to keep this whole platform, the whole program, small and concise and bespoke, because we'd like to offer the service that we're offering to our clients now. If it gets too big and unwieldy, we lose that personalized touch.
Okay.
So if you look at these guys, the amount of money they invest in, so like that, it's a huge amount. The cost from the medical side, the concierge, it's really fractions to what they pay or so like that. And what we tell the guys is that the same way they get a wealth manager, we're their health manager. So we look after that. And if you're not living and you're not looking after your health, you can't spend the money.
True. True.
So I think the important...
And David, is this unique to South Africa, this scheme, or has it worked in other countries?
Okay, so there are variations of this concierge medicine. It started in the States. It's really GP-based. So in the States, what they do, they get one general practitioner. Say, for instance, you may have 1,000 families. He'll limit it to 200 families. Then they'll pay them a retainer to look after the health, and they just get easy access. But it's not specialist-based like we are.
Yeah.
And then besides the specialist network, so we've got 23 specialists that are part of the company as our primary network, but we've got networks that we've cultivated for the last 30 years. Yeah. So all 23 specialists have got their own network, both nationally and internationally. So it's a huge network of doctors that we can get access to. And really, whatever strange area of medicine, if you need a pediatric allergist, for instance, one of the guys in the network will know someone that can organize it like that.
How did you rope all these guys in? And women, presumably.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's mixed. It's a network that we've been working for the last 30 years. So early on is that, the guy said, is that if your family member gets sick, who are you going to? Who are you sending them to? So that's the network that we've got, and we're making that network available to our clients.
Okay.
So I think, Kate, the important thing is that, so we've been going for about 3 years now, and of the clients we had, except for one person that we think that there may have been other financial restraints on it, everyone signs up again year after year. So these guys, and these are the captains of industry, have seen the benefit. Yeah. And they sign up month after month, the year after
and
year for it.
And outside of South Africa, let's say I'm living in Nigeria or I'm a South African living somewhere in Africa, can I subscribe to these services?
Absolutely. So it's an African concierge medicine. We've got clients in Ghana, Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe. So absolutely, so it's an African initiative. Unfortunately, Kate, north of Limpopo, there's really no medical facilities whatsoever. So by using technology with telemedicine, we can stay in touch with the guys. And if they need to get admitted, they can fly down and then we can help them out here.
Yeah. I hope you're not keeping lots of corrupt presidents alive. Shouldn't have said that, but I'm sure it's what lots of people are thinking. No, that's a hypothetical question. I don't expect you to answer. So, David, where do you go from here? Okay, you started, it's been going for 3 years. What would you like to see develop?
So the next step now, so we've got the business up and running. It's growing nicely. We're learning from each new person, teaches us new information. We're improving the tech all the time. The next place that we're looking to go to is that South Africa has got two big things for it. The lodges, the safari lodges, and medicine. And when the foreigners come and they're spending a lot of money per day in the lodges, unfortunately, if they get sick, the medical backup is really not great. And we've got this infrastructure with the telemedicine and with the tech to help these clients out. So the next step is to help the travelers, and then to continue up into Africa where the guys haven't got any medical resources and we can assist them on that side.
That's quite interesting. I'm just updating a big guide to South Africa, and I'm actually updating in Mpumalanga and Kruger, so I'm about to go off on a visit to lots and lots of lodges in Sabi, Sang, Kruger, etc. So would a random traveller, let's say next week I'm in Sabi, Sang, and I'm at a lodge, and an American falls sick, I couldn't say to them, let's call Infinity Medical Concierge, do you have to be a member first?
Yeah, okay. So what we'll do is that when the overseas client books it, their safari, the option will be available to them that they can join. And it's really a nominal fee in dollars for them to pay to be a part of it.
So it's almost like an extra travel insurance.
Yeah, okay. They still need the travel insurance to cover the cost of hospitalization and travel expenses if they get sick. But we'll network with them with the right person and assist them where they need from a medical point of view. So when they come to Deep Dark Africa, they've got that peace of mind to know that if there's any medical issue, we'll sort them out. And over the years, Kate, we've done quite a bit of work with the lodges already, both in Southern Africa and South Africa, where if they've got a problem, and the guys are really shocked about the quality of care that we get here. So for instance, you get people that break legs and they come down and they say, when are you going to operate? Well, say this afternoon. They said, but it's too soon. They can't believe that we can access the resources and get, and it's not just the concierge. This is how it works in Southern Africa. We will operate that afternoon as soon as possible. So the level of care, once they've met it, it exceeds the expectations from Africa.
Oh, sounds absolutely brilliant. Thanks, Dave. Well, if I break my leg while I'm in a lodge next week, no. That's like the commentator's curse. Wouldn't do that. But thanks, David. And is there a website or a number people can call?
Yes, yeah. Kate, can our team get back to you with all the contact details?
Yes, because I'd like to tell our listeners, they would like a cinema producer. If you just WhatsApp, have you got a pen there? Just WhatsApp this number, 061-895-1019. So if you'll just app her, you know, contact details, and I can read them out to listeners. Super. Oh, well, thanks. Thanks, so David. It sounds an amazing scheme. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
So I was talking there to Dr. David Adler, and it's such an interesting concept. I mean, it's a kind of proactive health planning, and if you belong to this scheme, you get access to peer-reviewed specialists, holistic care, personalised emergency services. Look, it's not, you've got to have deep pockets, but my word, if you can go for this, you really will be looked after from cradle to grave. And the website, do we have a website? We're waiting together. I think if you just Google Infinity Medical Concierge, Infinity Medical Concierge, you'll find the website there. Okay, I want to tell you, and Sen is going to try and get the author for us. I'm only halfway through it because it's a lot of information to digest at a time, but it is the most amazing book called An Immense World: How Animal Senses Reveal the Hidden Realms Around Us. An Immense World: How Animal Senses Reveal the Hidden Realms Around Us, by Ed Young. And just to give you an idea, it was Barack Obama, New York Times, Guardian, Economist, Spectator, Times Literary Supplement, and New Statesman Book of the Year. Well, you can't come more highly recommended than that. And what the author does, he puts everything in layman terms, so he makes like the speed of light accessible to somebody very non-scientific like myself. But he takes the five senses, sight and sound and touch and smell. What's the other one? Sight, sound, smell, touch, taste. And he looks at how animals perceive that. We perceive everything through human eyes. We think a dog sees what we do. Of course it doesn't see. And he's got lots of photographs. Interesting, while we're on the subject of a dog, he's got a photograph of Typo, the corgi, and he's sitting with a bunch of all different objects, blue, red, yellow, pink, on a blue and white carpet, and there he is, ears pricked up, looking very intelligent. Now, they show the same version of the picture through, it's called dichromatic vision of dogs. They don't see everything in black and white. They see yellow and blue and grey and black and white, but they don't see red. They don't see orange. They don't see bright green. So there's lots and lots and lots of photographs to show you how animals perceive things. I mean, there's a picture of a little hummingbird, and the bib of this hummingbird, it's a broad-tailed hummingbird, and the wing bars of butterflies reflects colours that we can't see. The peacock mantis shrimp, for goodness sake, sees colour a totally different way to how we see it and how other animals see it. Why? Because it's got three-part eyes. It's just the most amazing book. A seal, a harbour seal, can track fish by using his whiskers to interpret the trails that fish leave. So there he is, swimming along, twitching his little whiskers on the trail of a fish. He's got absolutely no idea that he's being trailed by the whiskers of a seal. There's a scorpion that senses the footfalls of their prey. So it lies in wait, and it hears somebody or something coming. Thinking of which, last night as I was walking back to my cottage, I've got a cobbled pathway. In the middle of it, I thought, oh, somebody's dropped a whole piece of black string. And it was a rain spider, which are quite harmless, by the way, quite fierce looking. And there it was, lying in wait, presumably for prey. It shows you rain is coming if we've got rain spiders. So I left it. I went inside, went out a bit later, no sign of the rain spider. So this world that he writes about, as I say, we see everything through our senses and our eyes. But imagine what it would be like to be a whale and you're listening to the whistles and the songs of other whales. That's your world. It's not a world of motor cars or computers or whatever. If you're a lion, you're totally in your lion world. And it's a very, very well researched book. Owls, you all know, owls hunt by hearing. They can detect the tiniest scratch of a mouse. And then you go to things like sight, and you go to a falcon that can see for miles or kilometres. It just, as I say, he works through the five senses, and then he looks at different animals and those five senses. There's another hummingbird, it's a picture of the blue-throated hummingbird. It sings ultrasonic notes that it can't hear, but a female can hear. And then one of my favourite stories, because I'm a birder, I don't want to tell you the wrong name, might be a goldfinch, don't, I'm not going to name the bird, but many birds, when they hatch, they can already sing. They know their songs. Some little birds, particularly little songbirds, can't sing until they hear their parents or an auntie and uncle sing. Then they can sing, but this is the amazing thing, they don't sing the song of their parents or their auntie or uncle. They sing their own unique song. It's quite extraordinary. It's a lovely book. It's written in a way that we can understand it. I mean, the praise that's coming for it, magnificent, extraordinary, suffused with magic, breathtaking. And I love this one, A Hymn to the Wonders of Evolution. Lovely book to buy for yourself, or a lovely, lovely book. I actually got it as a birthday present from a dear friend, Lisa. Lovely, lovely book. An Immense World, How Animal Senses Reveal the Hidden Realms Around Us by Ed Yong. And Senna's going to try and get the Penguin publishes under Vintage Books. You'll get, I was in Exclusive Books yesterday, actually. I haven't been in Exclusive Books for months and months and months because I get sent a lot of books by reviewers. What an Aladdin's cave. What? And I didn't buy any books because my house, my little house, my matchbox cottage is coming down with books. Oh, but the temptation. And I always think, I don't think a television program can change your life. I really don't. I don't think a film can change your life. But I do believe, I do know that a book can change your life. A kid can go into a library and pick up a book, or always have books in your home if you've got children, even if you haven't. Always have books in your home because hopefully they'll be reading them. I was going to tell you, but I don't think I've got time now. I've got, Craig, how much time have I got? I've got 4 minutes, so I won't tell you. But this time last year, I'll tell you next week, I was in Botswana, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. Had the most wonderful birthday in the middle of a private island in the middle of the Zambezi. But I'll tell you all about that next week. And the weather. Rain is coming, as I say. I saw the rain spider. I don't know if spiders just come when rain spiders come when rain is imminent. But there you are, the rain spiders are out. This is in Johannesburg. There is a feeling, there's definitely a feeling of rain in there. Best thing of all, the jacarandas starting to bloom, and I believe already in Pretoria it's in bloom, and that jacaranda in bloom in Pretoria is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. It's breathtaking, and you drive down the old streets of Johannesburg. We're a bit behind because our weather's not so hot as Pretoria, because we're high up and they're in a bowl, as it were. But the jacarandas in bud, and I've seen a few jacaranda trees, and your heart absolutely lifts when you see these great purple trees. I think they originate in Southeast Asia. I'm not quite sure where they originate. I have to look it up. They're not native to South Africa. They're not indigenous, certainly. Oh, but my word, they're breathtaking. So enjoy the jacaranda. Well, enjoy the rain when it comes, and look after yourselves. As I always say, travel safely, look after yourself, and look after others too.